Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're happy to have those of you who are visiting with us this evening. My dear friend, 40-plus years, Rick Davis and his wife are with us. I was so happy to see them. Wasn't expecting to see them. I see Sister Begonia in the back. Her family has been a long-time encourager of us in this work. And we're thankful to God that we've had an opportunity to spend the last 8 years in the country of Malawi, preaching and teaching the word of Christ. This is what I consider an organic work. This work was started because of the love that two friends had for one another. One passed from this world. I had the good pleasure of just walking down the hallway with one of our elders, and it was Brother Maurice Romine, and I said to Brother Maurice, you know, I might be interested in going to Africa to preach the gospel. And he said to me, when would you be interested in going? You know, he didn't say, why do you want to go? That's what most people, I believe, would have said. So I told him, you know, in a few months, maybe within 6 months or so. So I met with the elders, and it was arranged in such a way that we went to Africa 8 years ago, full time, preaching the gospel of Christ, and I've been very grateful for the things that God has blessed us in that particular country. I hope I can operate this thing properly. Which button do I push? The big green. No wonder. Okay. All right. What we have here in Malawi, it is, as I said, it's an organic work. I started this effort because there was a brother, Paul Williams, who had continued to ask me to come to Africa, to South Africa, and to share the word of God with some of the brethren. Well, I reluctantly went, but I did it 2 years consecutively, and I paid my own way. And I was trying to do that as an attempt to tell Brother Paul, okay, so I've done what you have requested, so stop. You know, stop this talking to me because I'm not going to come to Africa permanently. And this situation happened with our late brother James Nyando, a brother who ran for president of the nation. He died, and about 2 days before he died, Rick and I was on the phone with him, and James said to me, you know, Larry, nobody ever goes to Africa to go into the villages to preach the gospel. And that's the last conscious conversation I remember having with him, and he passed 2 days later. And this was on my mind for several weeks after his death. Rick and I had even spoken about it, and I was grateful that the elders agreed to give us this opportunity. I'm going to quickly try to run through these slides. I think there's about 40-something of them, but I'm not going to spend a long time on each one of them. What we have here is a general outline. I want to give you a quick review of the country, our area of focus, some programs that we have instituted within the villages, and how our relationships have developed over the last 8 years, some special programs that we've done, some current challenges that we have, not in preaching the gospel, because the gospel, the avenues to preach and teach are really open in Africa. And there are certain things that we can do to help advance that cause. You know, there's always money, but also we need the prayers, and we welcome visits from our brothers and sisters in this country, because that's a source of serious encouragement for our brothers and sisters in Africa and the work at large. Evangelism is one of the topics that we try to spend most of our time working and developing in Malawi. If you went to the book of Matthew, began looking at Matthew chapter 28, you see that is the Great Commission. This is where Christ tells his apostles to go into the world and to preach the gospel. I knew that that was going to be a serious commitment. And if I was to do it, I had to put my best effort forward. And thanks be to many of you, you gave me the encouraging support to do the work. And I think the work, with God's help and with your support, has been very, very productive. I know that in certain parts of the world, the Lord's work is not favored. It is not met with favor among its citizens. Even in this country, there are certain things that we can say and preach in Africa that would be frowned upon here in the United States. So I'm very careful about some of the things that I say. But nevertheless, we try to preach the gospel in keeping with the Word of God, and we don't make any apologies for those things that we say that are in keeping with the Word of God. And I think because of that, much good has happened in our particular work. This is the small country of Malawi. It is a landlocked country, and as a small country, it lies between Zambia, Tanzania, and Mozambique. It has one of the largest freshwater lakes in the world. That lake has some 250 species of fish that don't exist anywhere else in the world. Auburn and Mississippi State spend quite a bit of time there trying to keep the lake itself healthy. At its widest point, the lake is 52 miles wide, and it is 365 miles long. Malawi has some 22 different regions that we have as a nation, and I find myself really working primarily in the central and southern region. The country itself has about 21 million people that are known, and of course there's a large population of people from Mozambique because of the war and factions that happened there that are now in Malawi. So they actually think the country is more like 30 or so million people. But I have an opportunity that I think is very unique for people who come from the United States. I do believe that it helps, it helped initially to be black, and it also helped to have a friend like James Nyando, who was not just respected by those Southern African nations, but he was very well respected by many people in Washington, D.C. He had three law degrees, just a brilliant person, but his love for our Lord, I think, superseded everything that he had ever done in his life. And I was grateful for the opportunity to meet him. Our country is a very poor country. We were once listed among the first number four as the poorest country on nation in the world, excuse me. Now we have increased to number six. So number six is still not a great position, but some of the nations around us have actually been helping us, and they have been holding Malawi accountable for much of the misuse of funds that many of these nations have contributed to help Malawi's citizens. In speaking with our elders prior to going to Africa, the mandate for them was to remember that you really only have three areas of responsibility, you know, when you go out to teach the gospel. There is evangelism, going out and teaching people about Christ. There's edification, building up those who are already part of the body of Christ to encourage them to continue to walk this great walk. And then an area of benevolence is an area that you have participated so beautifully in. There was no need to talk politics. You know, I wasn't in the business to go to Malawi to talk politics. My job was to preach the gospel, and as a teacher of Christ's word, there's only three aspects of that that is mandated from the scriptures. So the pulpit is never used for political reasoning at any level. We had some goals when we arrived in 2024, some things that we wanted to accomplish. We always set some goals and objectives that we want to achieve before the end of the year. Our goal was to speak to at least 60,000 people during our tenure there in 2024. Unfortunately, we did not reach that goal. I believe that we would have reached it, with the exception of about 2 months. We had some extensive fuel shortages. So there were certain places that we had planned to go to that we were unable to go to because we just didn't have fuel to put in our vehicles. This year, we have baptized somewhere close to 850 people, and about 1,500 plus have repented of their wrong and have been restored back to the family of God. We make an attempt as the Hughes Road congregation and the representative for Hughes Road to go into the villages and to preach the gospel pretty much where people do not want to go. Over the last 8 years, we have been blessed to have established 39 congregations of the Lord's church. And probably among those, the smallest would probably have about 70 or so people, at least those that have been into existence. 2 weeks ago, a congregation was established with 13 people, and is already at 40 people now. So we're grateful that God has smiled on us in that area. We do often have the ability and the blessing, I guess, to study with denominational people. We have been in some places and preached the gospel, and the entire congregation converts to Christianity, and we start a teaching program so that they can understand what they have done and encourage them to continue this area of truth. We also do study with the Muslims. We haven't had much success, but the church is respected. And when I say it is respected, it is unlike denominational churches. Even the Muslims, they realize that there's something unique about the teachings of Christ, because they also respect Christ from a position of a great prophet. Just some of the pitches from evangelism. Basically, what we do, we will go into the villages. Sometimes we stay two or three days at a particular location. We make a habit of presenting ourselves to the chief beforehand. And it is the chiefs that give you the go-ahead to enter into their villages and to meet the people. And the chief sometime will send out a call, and he'll gather his villagers so that you can make a presentation to them. We'll make a Bible presentation to the chiefs initially, but the chief gives us a great opportunity to speak to almost every person within their village. These are a couple of new churches that have been established, and I would say they're probably anywhere between 150 and 300 strong to this date. Some other pitches. Normally, when we have our meetings, we try to pull from several different villages. There was an event that happened, which I was very surprised about, I guess in a very positive way. There was a denominational preacher from the Presbyterian church who told one of our brethren, you know, I know him. And I was trying to find out how did he know me, and Shad did some investigating. Shad, he's a former policeman. And in his investigation, he found that this particular brother and about five or six other people, they would come to wherever we were speaking because they liked the message of the one Lord, one faith, and the one baptism. And they were very conscious of it even when they began to preach their particular doctrine. There have been a couple of people out of the Presbyterian Church who were people of notoriety who have converted to Christianity, and for those, we are extremely grateful. Just some additional pictures. Edification. This is where we try to build up our brethren. When I initially went to Malawi, there was no such thing as a conservative congregation. And Brother Maurice encouraged me to just preach the word. And I was able to basically go all over central and southern Malawi just teaching Christ. And then I was asked to come back to people who had certain issues, certain biblical issues, and we were able to teach on specific subjects. And over the last 8 years, the nation as a whole in the central and southern region are basically believing what I believe. That is that there's only one Lord, only one faith, and only one baptism. Why do I believe that? I believe that because this is exactly what the Bible teaches, and I don't have to apologize for that. And I think it is that particular direct approach that has been a very positive thing for our work in Africa. It would appear that over the last 8 years that we have baptized more than 13,500 people. And this is because of the connection that Malawi has with this particular congregation. We have people who come to visit us. And when brethren from America come to visit, especially from Hughes Road, which is the supporter of our effort, it is a great encouragement for these brothers to understand that I'm not in Africa alone. I actually started working at the Area 47 church, and when I say working, just basically worshiping there. And as I worshiped at the Area 47 church, I understood there were just a lot of things that they did which was not in keeping with the scriptures. They were primarily operating like a denominational church, and they were ran primarily by one brother who was a diplomat, and he was primarily ignorant for the most part of the scriptures. So after about a year, some of the brethren just got together with this guy and they said, you know, you are opposing everything that Larry is teaching, but you don't have any biblical point that you can position that you are right and he's wrong. So this is what began to change, I think, with our work in Africa. The Christians began to take positions against some of the leaders, because some of the leaders were primarily interested in advancing their own agenda. And now, since as a nation, the southern and central region, we have a unique relationship even now with the president of our nation, and we hope to have a citywide gospel effort in Lilongwe, and the president has told us that he will come and visit and support our efforts, you know, once we can set that day. Moses Cumbie is trying to set that day for next year in Malawi, so I pray that it can happen. He wanted to do it at a very big menu. Normally when we are preaching, we assemble people in the villages, and there's anywhere between 300 to 2,000 people. And we're going to need a much bigger venue if we're going to have such a program. So I'm just mentioning it so you can understand that we're full steam ahead, that we're not being passive, we're not being lazy, we're not being quiet. What we're trying to do is just advance the cause of Christ, and we're trying to do this based on the general teachings of God's word. So we want to always encourage those who are members of the Lord's church, and we find ourselves working with even our brethren that believe that it is necessary, if you're going to worship God, that you take the Lord's supper, the Lord's communion from one vessel. And some of those congregations have changed their position because they understand that they have been supporting an effort that someone from the United States came and introduced them to, and they were following that their instruction primarily because a Western person gave them this information. And some of these things have divided the body of Christ. But we talk often about church management. In the Lord's church, you can't just do whatever you want to do in the church. Christ has given us a mandate. Not one of us have the power to make law. Christ has already established the things that we can and cannot do. We don't have the liberty of taking God's money and doing whatever we want to do with God's money. And I think now the churches over the last 7 years, they're beginning to understand that we cannot go outside the authorized means of the scriptures in advancing God's work. There are all kind of good causes that we like to participate in, but I can participate personally. I can't go into the church treasury and demand funds to do a certain good social work. And this is what our brethren, I believe, are finally beginning to understand. We have lots of damage and destruction that happens in Malawi, and this is because our infrastructure is so poor. When I say poor, I mean we have poorly built roads, poorly built bridges, poorly built highways, and because of that, when storms come, when calamities happen, normally we find ourselves with broken down bridges, broken down buildings. We find ourselves with well water that is contaminated, and our brothers and sisters sometimes get sick and die from it. This is a rainy season that we have just entered into. And our brethren will tell you that normally from the middle of December until sometime around early February, cholera is a very big deal there. And a lot of our young ones will die because of cholera. And if you know that these issues we don't have in the United States, malaria, that is another big issue. We don't have people dying from malaria here in this country. It's pretty much been eradicated. Polio, they still have polio even in Malawi. So I'm praying that we can continue to teach on these things that we can do something about. We can encourage our brethren to go and to do what you can do. Don't wait on Hughes Road or the body of Christ to come in and do certain things. You can do certain things on your own, and they are beginning to do those things. Here we have what we call a bit of a leadership conference. There are some brethren on the right here in Zomba. Zomba is one of the districts that used to be the capital city for Malawi. And we're just teaching on some basic subjects that many of our brethren have no idea that what they have been doing have been anti-Christ. They did these things because they saw others do it, and then when people came, they continued doing it until somebody corrected them. You know, they just thought what they were doing were right. And I'm grateful to God that they have open minds, that their hearts are open to do the work of God and to stay between the scriptures and not deviate outside of the word of God. Here we have on the left, this is one of the sisters from Arizona, who is a teacher by trade, and who has come in to work with the young people in Malawi. For those of you who really don't know, the educational system in Malawi, it is not a very good system. You know, I've been privileged to spend a lot of time in New York. We had a business, and I worked with about 50 Jews in New York City for maybe 13 or 14 years. And the Jews had a way of teaching their children. you could rarely go into a Jew's house and that Jew wasn't doing something to train and develop his children. Now, we know that the doctrine from the Torah is not what we're living by now. We're living by the scriptures. We're living by the word of God. But those Jews believed what they were taught, and they taught one generation to the next. You know, I remember going into this one little classroom, and these kids, they couldn't have been more than 3 years old. They were teaching them nursery rhymes. It says, I saw Esau sitting on a seesaw. Esau, he said, he saw me. And then they throw their little hands up, and, you know, they start repeating the next verse. And they were so into that. And the teachers were into teaching them. We don't have that in Malawi. Malawi don't have a good structure in education. I believe almost at no level. There's a young lady who God has blessed us to put through college. She was tested, and she did very, very well. But the American universities, they're demanding that she go back to school and take three additional courses. And they said that would make her equal in that particular field of engineering with the students in the United States. So we have to continue to work in education, even inside the church. You know, I was sitting a few days ago just thinking about the many things that we have here at Hughes Road and what a blessing it is for us. You know, I was looking at all of the teaching and so forth that I've experienced over the last 20 plus years. I don't write any of my own lessons with the exception of my Bible, things that I teach. When I say Bible, if I'm teaching on a particular subject, I write those sermons. But if I want to teach on a subject such as Genesis, we have all kind of material here. I use Greg Chandler's information on Genesis. If I want to teach on the book of Hebrews, I use Dr. Romine's material. There are so many avenues where we have been blessed. I want to teach Revelations, and if I teach Revelations, I'm going to use Dr. Sim's material. There's no need for me to do that. You know, I'm in Eric Hamilton's class, and he's teaching Job. I've heard some lessons on Job before. But man, Eric brings this particular subject to life. And I am just, I'm blessed to even be in his class. Not only is he able to teach it, but he wrote the material as well. Sometimes I wonder if we really know what we have here at Hughes Road. But because you have developed me, I can go into a foreign country and teach those things that I have learned, which is not necessary for me to develop these lessons myself. These lessons already exist, so all I have to do is use them and teach our brothers and sisters, and many of them, they're encouraged by that particular effort. Let me try to hurry through this. Again, edification, just getting our people together. And again, about 56,000 or so people were seen and preached to us. I mean, we preached to them this year. All right, out of 22 districts, 11 of those districts have been beneficiaries of the aid and so forth that this congregation and some other congregations have sent. 665 congregations, 11 different districts, 26,212 Christian families, 131,000 individuals, 1 million pounds of corn have been distributed to our brethren over the course of this particular season. $189,000 have been spent in Malawi getting food to our brothers and sisters, and there is an accounting that is done who keep up with all of this particular funding. And we want you to know, even though there are problems in the country, we try to make sure that what we're doing, that we are accountable for those things that we're doing. And we want people to know. And so I don't handle the money. Even if someone gives me money here, I give that money to Brother Stephen Cook, and Brother Stephen would put it in the fund, and then that the accounting amount would be given to Brother Pius in Africa, and then as that money is drawn down, it's recorded, and it is recorded for whatever use that we are using it. Maize distribution. For me, this is an exciting day when we're able to do this. And maybe Brother Greg has shared this with you, but when people in Malawi receive the gift of food, they don't waste things. You know, if there's a bag that comes open and some kernels fall on the ground, man, those little children, they will go and they will pick every single one of those kernels. And I often think about, you know, how much we waste, how much we throw away. And we're not aware sometimes of what a little savings on this side would do for the long term. Some young child, he gave me $50 to be used in Malawi. He wanted to know, what could this $50 buy? Well, that could be 200 pounds of food for a Christian family. Is that not a good deal? So Stephen gets the $50, then it goes into the Malawi Working Fund, we'll pull it out, and then we'll go buy the maize when we get to Africa. But I am just thankful that God has blessed us to be able to do this. If this wasn't done, brothers and sisters, many people would die. All right, this is maize distribution for Mozambique. We've established 8 churches in Mozambique, and those 8 congregations are faithful, and they're doing all they can do with the resources that they have. We're loading maize, corn, into boats. They're really not boats. They're hollowed out logs, and they're going across an alligator-infested river, the River Shiri, to deliver this corn to our hungry brothers and sisters on that side. Same thing. Newly established congregation. This is Moses, and I know he's a little bit out of proportion. For those of you who know Moses, he's short, but he's not that short and wide. Okay. So, but what we have here is 2 new congregations that have been established since I have been here in the United States, and we're so thankful for that. 3,500 Bibles have been distributed. I want you to understand that Malawi never had enough of anything. There's never enough Bibles for everybody. Since we don't have enough Bibles, we are very selective. So when there's a new Christian, we will try to make sure that that family has the Bibles. But there's also a need for them to understand what's inside that Bible. There's a document that we give explaining how to use their best newfound friend. There are also those who gives us sometime from time to time an audio Bible. Those audio Bibles are used usually in the inter-villages where the people can speak the language, but they cannot read. And that has been a communal thing. There are many people who will assemble themselves together almost every night, and they will read, they will have a chapter read to them. And they call themselves having listening parties. And this is done almost every night as their form of entertainment. It may be entertainment, but they're also learning in the process. This is just some of the Bible distribution we're making. Bibles being presented to the elders, and those elders in turn will pass them out to the individuals within their congregations. Whereas we may have, I think, an average of 5 Bibles in our home, there are many Christian families who don't have a single Bible. We spent this year about $120,000 toward buildings. And I know you say, well, You know, why do you do? Why don't you buy food? Because the money was given to us for the purpose of building buildings. And we did exactly what our donors asked us. I'm going to quickly show you a few things here. These are some buildings that were dilapidated, and we put roofs on them, and it was because of gifts from many of you. This is a building that was funded by a couple out of Tennessee. The building itself is designed to seat around 1,200 people. We started with when the building was started, we started with somewhere around 300, maybe a little bit over 300. About 600 people are in that building now, and we didn't open the building until about 4 months ago. So we expect to be at capacity within the next 3 years. Another couple of dilapidated buildings. I don't know why I can't talk today. But these buildings, they are this way because there are no building codes out in the villages. And unless you go out there and have it done yourself by your own standards, you can never be sure that the people are not taking your cement money and diluting the product and not really paying attention to what you have wanted. So we try to make sure that our people are on site watching the construction of these projects. So in summary, this is what has happened over the past year since we have been in Malawi. About 56,000 people have heard the gospel. 131,000 people have received food relief. 3,500 Bibles have been distributed. 39 new congregations have been established since the Lord's work has begun. Around 850 people were baptized this year. 1,500 souls were restored back to the church. We also have delivered medicine and tablets to purify water, chlorine tablets, and this we try to give to our brethren. Those handouts that tell them how to use a Bible, there have been about 3,000 of those. Communion cups, 500,000 of those have been distributed. And then communion trays. Many of our brethren don't have trays. So brothers and sisters, this is basically what we have done over the course of the last year. And it's not just what I've done, it's what you have done. We have made a difference in the lives of Malawian, not just in Christian lives. Now, I don't give any money or any resources to non-Christians. But these people, they are observing what we are doing. And they are encouraged to at least come and hear the gospel. And many of them have walked away from their denominational affiliation. And we're thankful to God that he has blessed us to do that. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to continue to do what you have been doing. Pray for us. Send people from time to time to visit us and read the reports and so forth that we send and ask questions about anything that you would like to. I may not have all of the answers. If it's financially related, that would be Pius and Moses. If it's religiously related, I can handle most of those along with Shadrach and Lazarus and Gulwi. So there's about five of us who I'm very thankful we have partners that work with us. And because of that, God forbids if something happened to me, our elders and our preacher know who they can go to speak to because these people are doing the work that's actually helping us. There was a time when I wasn't sure about Moses. Because when I first went to Malawi, Moses wrote a letter to the elders. And that letter was asking who was I and why was I there and so forth. But it wasn't a year later before Moses started to understand. You know, you're talking about sending your child to college. You know, you need to be thinking about that now. It was maybe 3 years before he had to go. And lo and behold, the kid is now at Florida College. And Moses is singing the praises of the Lord's church, because in Africa, man, he didn't want to put his child in. Moses is an American educated individual. His doctorate came from Brigham Young. So he didn't want to put his child in a place where he wouldn't be spiritually fulfilled and where he wouldn't academically achieve the most that he could. So I want you to know that we appreciate what you've done. We're thankful to God that we have people who have helped us in ways that we can only just thank you for, because we can't ever repay what you have done. You know, I remember some of the small children in Africa that we're trying to teach. We're using Sister Colleen's material, Sister Pam McCowan. I mean, these are people who have provided resources, and it is great material. One of the people in Africa said, you know, this stuff should be published. And I'm going to be honest with you. In my opinion, it should, because more people may become obedient to the gospel. But brothers and sisters, that's our report for this trip. I pray to God he'll give us another opportunity so that we can present maybe a couple of the lessons, maybe one lesson then. I see somebody saying, hey, you take too long. But maybe one lesson that we would present in Africa that would bring to your awareness of how the brothers and sisters receive God's word. It is nothing uncommon for us to have an hour and a half preaching, 2 hours preaching, an hour of questioning and answers, you know, and take a break and then come back and do it again. It was nothing uncommon for Greg to preach an hour, I can tell you that. Greg can preach an hour, okay? But I'm so thankful that God has blessed us to have such a family who is interested in the advancement of the cause of Christ like you are. It is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. You know, I pillow my head at night and I'm not concerned about what happens during the night. I'm not even concerned about what happens during the day. As a Christian, I'm under the Lord's protection 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I don't concern myself about what if this happens and I am no longer in the world. I have a Savior who has promised that he would never leave me. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he'll never forsake me. And I'm thankful, I'm so thankful to that. But if we have someone here who don't know our Lord the way we teach and the way the Bible has ascribed, you come this afternoon by hearing the word of God. You come by believing the word of God to be truth. You come by repenting of your sin and confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. You then are to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin. You know, in Africa, we have some people challenging baptism. And they say, well, the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized. No, he wasn't. But he lived and died under the law of Moses. You are living under grace and truth. And for that reason, baptism is a command. And if you want to see our Lord, you're going to have to obey that command. We may have someone who is a member of the body of Christ and your life has not been in keeping with the will of our Lord. You come this evening by confessing that fault, by repenting of it, and then by having prayer offered in your behalf. And the Lord has promised he would restore you back to your rightful place in his kingdom. If there's anyone in either capacity this afternoon, we ask you to please come forward, make the request known as we together stand and sing our song of encouragement.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening and we hope to see you in person soon.